Turn your Bibles to Proverbs. Well, a couple things to clarify about the message tonight. The title is one I said I preached a couple times before over the past 35, 40 years or so. But puppy love leads to a dog's life has nothing to do with animals. I like dogs. I used to have hunting dogs. I like puppies especially. Like, that's a great thing. If you have a dog, that's good for you. Has nothing to do with dogs, though. Second thing I want to clarify tonight is the message is directed particularly toward parents that have children home and toward teens and young adults. And doesn't mean it doesn't apply to someone else. You may be single, unmarried, and beyond the 20s. And it's something that you need to hear as well. It would be helpful to you. But primarily, the remarks would be to those that are teenagers and in their 20s, young adults. So if you are in your teens or 20s, unmarried, I'd like for you to stand. We're going to clarify something before we start. If you are 13, just so you know, a teenager is 13. If you're 13 or over, in your 20s, all right, I want to make sure everybody, there's a great misunderstanding, so I want to make sure that you understand something. You may have the impression your parents never want you to get married and leave home. I assure you that is wrong. All right, you can be seated. They do not want you to stay in their home forever. They would prefer you get married and leave home. So just to clarify that. Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. We'll not read all that chapter, but of course it is the chapter, words of King Lemuel. It was a prophecy that his mother taught him. But a couple other scriptures that we'll mention. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In the first few chapters of Genesis, God created the world. In that sixth day, he created man and woman. He created woman from his side. As we know, he created Eve from the rib of his side because he did not intend man to lord over her, but to rule together. And he said it was good. And it goes on to say, and repeated in Ephesians again, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and these two shall be one flesh. Marriage is a good thing. God created it. It was his idea. It is a wonderful thing if you get married. If you remain unmarried, God does give a gift for some that they would not be married. There's nothing wrong with that either. But most people will get married, and it's God's intention that it be done the right way. There are certain guidelines. There are certain things you should and should not do. For some of us that are a little bit older, you may remember there was a pop song. It was written by Paul Anka and then revived by Donny Osmond about 12 years later. And it's, they call it puppy love. How many remember that song? All right, you just dated yourself for sure. Here are the words. You may not even remember the words, but they called it puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know how a young heart really feels and why I love her so. And they call it puppy love just because we're 17. Tell them all it isn't fair to take away my only dream. I cry each night these tears for you. My tears are all in vain. Oh, I'll hope and I'll pray that maybe someday you'll be back in my arms once again. Someone help me. Help me, please. Is the answer up above? How can I ever tell them this is not a puppy love? Someone help me. Help me, please. Is the answer up above? How can I ever tell them this is not puppy love? Now, that was sort of typical of that era, of that age. Young people would date, they'd get to know one another. Sometimes they would often go off on their own and go in a car, go different places. date once or twice a week, date various people. And it was sort of the thing of the day. It was popular. And everybody thought, oh, this is it, you know, and I like this person. And they would go steady. They called it going steady. There was nothing steady about it, but they called going steady. And they would share rings, and then they would put felt around their ring. You know, they'd have this guy's ring. It's much too big for a finger, and they'd put that ring on it, and they'd wrap felt around it. And it's like they're a thing. They're an item. You know, they're really, you know, they love one another. But in reality, you know, at least 90% of it, if not 100% of it, was something we would call very immature. It would be something that was just not understanding your feelings and emotions, not understanding what was going through your body at that point in your life. And because of that, a lot of people made some big mistakes. And that's why I said puppy love, an immature love, a love that is not biblical, a love that is selfish, can lead to a dog's life. It can lead to misery. It can lead to drudgery. It can create many problems. You can actually define this if you go to a dictionary. It's an infatuation felt by adolescents, transitory love or affection felt by a child or an adolescent. And Carta says temporary love of an adolescent. Wikipedia calls it romantic affection that is not mature or not true. The term reflects a bias that love between youngsters is somehow less valid. In Genesis 2 and verse 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. It's a good thing. It's God's plan. But God has a plan to do it the right way, not the wrong way. And let me tell you one of the things that's happening today with our social media. Young people are connecting with one another, sometimes without their parents knowing, sometimes hiding those relationships. Let me tell you, if you're doing that as a young person, you're making a big mistake. You don't realize that what you are doing can lead to misery. Amen. It can lead to all kinds of problems in the future. Doing it God's way can bring about a home that is holy, that is right, and it's happy and it's lasting. That was God's intent. One man, one woman for life. Something we don't think about when you're an adolescent. Does he have a job? Does he know how to work? Is he planning on living in his parents' basement for the rest of his life? Is she only concerned with her makeup and hairspray? Is she so infatuated with herself that she would never really care for me? Those are pretty serious questions. What does her room look like? Is her room clean? Is that what my home will look like? Does he even take a shower more than once a week? When you get married, some of those things begin to matter. Can she cook? Can she learn how to cook? Does she have an aptitude to be a wife? Suddenly, those things matter. One hillbilly decided he was going to find him a wife. And you know how all the ways that people connect today, he put an ad in the paper. And he said, looking for a wife, must know how to hunt, clean fish, and have a boat. Please send picture of the boat. Now, he really found somebody. If she knows how to clean fish, hunt, and has a moat, I mean, that would be it, wouldn't it? Everybody may have their own idea, but God has the right idea. And he tells us how marriage should be. And that tells us what should bring us to that point of marriage. There's something that happens that awakens in a young person's life. And parents, it's your responsibility to make sure you talk to them and explain to them what's happening. Dads, you need to give your daughter reassurance that she doesn't have to go somewhere to find attention. That she doesn't have to look to somebody to think, now someone loves me and cares about me. She needs to have that security to know that she is fine like she is. But if they don't feel that way, some guy comes along, shows some attention, they can be caught away and do it secretly without you even knowing. There is an awakening that happens in an adolescent that are normal, it's natural, and it's a good thing, but it must be, it's something they must be aware of, that it is something you have to wait. True love waits for the right one. Now, where do you find the right one? You know, how do you get the right person? You know, that's something that every parent and every child should pray for every day. Lord, lead me to the right one. Lead me to a good marriage, to a godly home. And have that in your heart and mind, that you only want to marry in the will of God. So, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and verse 4, says, I charge you, O daughter of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please. Now, I think many of you would rather be married than not married. But I'll tell you what, you would be better not married than to marry someone that brings you misery. And that's why people end up in divorce, because they can't stand the misery. I just talked to someone who years ago was even a student in our school and a member of our church. And he said, well, I've got to have a job and work because I don't want to be at home with my wife all day. And you know, that's sort of the world's typical attitude. Once they get married, they have what they think they want. Now it becomes routine. It's not really that important. And that love and marriage is dwindling. So that relationship is something that ought to start on the right foot. But you have to wait for the right one. Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. There has to be an order of administration in the home. And that order is the husband should be the head of the home. If the wife runs the home, it's going to be dysfunctional. They both have important roles that they play. But if a wife cannot support her husband, she is going to tear up that home. It's important for the man to step up and say, I will be the leader of this home. And so when you begin that relationship, that man has a responsibility to be the head of the home. He has a responsibility to lead that home. Girls, listen to me. If a guy does not respect you or your body, he is not a leader of a home. I can't say it any clearer than that. He better respect you for who you are and treat you like a lady. And if he doesn't, you are getting into a big mess. That's the role of a husband. Someone said, you know, it's time you started acting your age. Well, sometimes people try to act older than they are. Sometimes I've seen parents want their children to act older, dress older, look older. You know, I really think there is a sequence in the Bible where there's a role at every age level. And if you're children, there's nothing wrong with that. You ought to be children. You know, the boys say, oh, those girls are in the class. You know, that's part of being a young boy. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's healthy. But something happens one day, and you realize, is Bill still in the bathroom? What's he doing? And he comes out, and he's combed his hair. Why'd you comb your hair? Well, I need to comb my hair. Well, you never combed it before. What changed? What started? And you find out there's some pretty girl in that class he's seen, and he's trying to clean himself up a little bit, straighten his act out a little bit. You know, that's not unusual, but there need to be parameters. You don't want to push them until it's too early. And let them be friends with everybody. You know, you go through those teen years, you don't have to be married. You say, oh, I'm 17, I'm not married, I'm going to be an old maid. You don't have to do that. You can be friends with a lot of people, guys and girls. And there's the group. That's a good thing. That's part of that age group. And you get to a certain point, God leads you to that special person. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make it work. Now, I've seen cases, and there are a few here tonight, where I think in each case I think of tonight, the girl was dating some, not really dating, but was interested, or somebody's interested in her, and they were not saved. Now, what do you do in a situation like that? I'll tell you, it's a dangerous thing. Sometimes a guy will come to church just enough to make you think he's a good person and religious and a Christian, and as soon as you get married, that's it. But I've seen cases where someone did it right, said, we're not going anywhere, we're not doing anything. If you want to come to church and sit with my family and me, that you can do that. And I've seen them get saved, and so saved that their spouse said, wait a minute, you know, they've outgrown me. You know, now they're, you know, I expect you to be saved, but not that dedicated. I mean, it's possible somebody could get saved. In fact, some of you girls could be a great evangelistic outreach. Just all the guy, bring them to church. Don't ever date anybody, just bring them to church. Get them to come. We'll get them out of their preaching. You know, give them this tape. Give them a copy of the CD. There's an opportunity of evangelism, but that's not your point. But there are cases. I understand where God led you to someone. You felt there was a possibility it could develop, but you don't do anything till they come to church, they get saved, and they commit their life to God and prove that there is a change in their life. And I've seen it where it's worked that way. But I've seen it many, many times where it didn't work that way. Where someone just, they said, oh, no, they're saved. They said they're a Christian. Now, if you held a gun to their head, put their face on the ground, and said, are you a Christian? They'd, yeah, I'm a Christian. But they would not openly be living for the Lord. They need to be openly living for the Lord. You need to see that spark, that desire for God in their heart and life. So there is an age that occurs. But there's a maturing process to understand what's happening in your life and preparing. Can I make a suggestion? Before you get married, get your driver's license. Get a job. Have enough money saved up, you can pay at least a deposit and your rent. I mean, it's just the minimum. You don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to have a lot of money. But if you can't do that, what kind of commitment do you have to a marriage? What kind of foot are you starting on if you can't even do that? And if you think, well, I'm not going to listen to my parents. I'm going to do my own thing. I'll just run off. I'll get married. You know, that never turns out very good. And you've robbed your family of something that's so precious and so wonderful to be a part of a wedding. You'll regret that the rest of your life. They want to be a part of it. They want you to be married. They want you to be happy. But they also know it's a rocky road and a dangerous road. If you're not careful, your emotions get in the way. And just because somebody showed you some interest and love does not mean they're going to be a good spouse. Be careful. So how do you attract the right one? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Turn with me there. The idea of the world today is you have to have this special appeal and dress in a seductive way. And, you know, it takes all kinds of makeup and all this different stuff. You know, and that'll make you attractive. You've got to be rippling with muscles and, you know, you really, you know, have that certain look about you, that model look. You know, it doesn't go very far in marriage. I mean, in reality, that doesn't go very far. It does not work that way. How do you find the right one? And it's important. You attract kind of what you go after. And you need to attract the right thing, the right kind of person. Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery in his heart already. You see that two different ways. First of all, a woman should not dress in a way to be alluring and seductive to a man. You're asking for trouble. And you're going to get the wrong thing. You'll get someone with low morals. Nor should a man look on a woman to lust after her. Even if she dresses that way, you have to look away. So there is an admonition on both counts. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So girls, you want to attract the right guy, that it goes deep in your person, in your soul, that you have a love and a dedication for God. And that comes out. It comes out in your countenance. It comes out in your face. People can see that you love the Lord and you have a heart and a desire to live for the Lord and serve the Lord. If the attraction is, wow, she's pretty. Wow, he's good looking. You know, that is a temporary thing. Time will take that away. One day you'll look in the mirror and you'll say, what happened? But time cannot take away that heart and love and desire for the Lord. That countenance is important. Not that appearance is not important, but that countenance is important. And so, women, you have a responsibility of modesty and a responsibility of the hidden man of the heart, of a love, a desire for the Lord. And men, you have a responsibility of a heart and a desire for God and a heart for your spouse, potential spouse, to love her and dedicate your life to her and sacrifice and respect her. So how do you attract the right one? It should be by your love for the Lord, that inner person, who you really are. And if you're not attracted by who you really are, you don't have much in common. So attracting the right one means you've got to be the right one. You know, birds of a feather flock together. That's not a Bible verse, but it does make sense, you know, that you're going to be like your friends. And if you start living a certain way, you will attract a certain thing. That's just the way it works. So have a dedication for God and make it the inner person, that you're growing as a person, your personality is developing, you love the Lord, then you'll attract someone similar to what you are. And then finally, we need to wait on the will of God. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 7:39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So marriage should be once for all. That's God's plan. Moses gave a writing of divorcement, but that was not God's intent from the beginning. It's not so. God's perfect plan was one man, one woman, together for life. That's the way you need to start out. There ought to be a commitment to say, I'm going to make this marriage work. And that should be your heart and desire. It's not easy. It takes work. It takes effort. There are going to be good times and bad times. There'll be struggles. But if you start off with an immature love, seeking something that only fulfills the flesh, boy, you know, you're headed for a rocky road. You're headed toward a lot of problems. Parents must give proper direction to their children to protect them. They have to be careful about premature relationships, getting involved with the wrong one. You have to be careful about their social media, about using someone else's phone. You know, when somebody gets it in their heart, they'll find a way. Or they have a second phone, or they have another account. And that, you know, you've got a problem, and you have to resolve that. I mean, you've got to pray through that. You've got to counsel and talk and work through that. Something has gone wrong. But God will help you. You know, sometimes it's an awkward thing. Sometimes it's difficult. You know, as a parent, you never thought you'd be in the position of having to have teenagers and give them direction. As a teenager, you just look at their parents like they're supposed to know everything. And as a parent, you think, I got teenagers. What do I do with them? How do I handle this? Here's a learning process for the teenager, but there's also for the parents. And you need God's help. You need to be in the Word of God, praying, seeking the will of God, because it's one of the biggest decisions anyone will ever make in their life. It'll have the most influence on your life of just about any decision other than your salvation. It is a huge decision. If you do it right, if you wait on the will of God, if you're under the authority of your parents, if you pray and God leads you to that right one, you're going to see that it is the greatest blessing, the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. God will bless you for it. But if you try to do it your way, if you follow the flesh, you know, there's people today living under bridges, getting just enough money to beg, borrow, and steal to get the next shot of cocaine. They never intended life to be like that. What in the world happened? All I'm saying is, puppy love leads to dog's life. And if you don't deal with it the right way, and if it's immature, what will happen is you're vulnerable, and the devil knows it, he can ruin or destroy your life. Let's bow for prayer tonight.